In Matthew 6, Christ teaches us how to pray by giving us an outline of topics that should be in our prayer. One of those topics concerns our asking our Father to lead us not into temptation. Can or does God lead people into temptation? In James, we see that God does not tempt man with evil. Turn to James 1, verse 13. James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. God certainly allows us to go through trials. These trials are not evil. They are not used to trip us up or to cause us to sin, but they're used to help us grow. When Satan tempts us, it is for the purpose to entice us to sin through our lust and to die. Lust ends in death if it's not repented of. God wants us to grow in grace and knowledge. Satan wants us to sin and die. So why are we admonished to ask God, don't lead us into temptation? The key word here is lead. Let's take a look at an example in Exodus. Just in context, we read in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and and of beast, it is mine. This is Exodus 1. In verse 3, Moses says unto the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. Let's go back, continue in verse 14. And it shall be when your son ask you in the time to come, saying, what is this? You shall say unto him, by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man, the firstborn of beast, and therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon your hand, and for frontlets between your eyes, for by the strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. God led them not. For God said, lest perhaps the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. They are tempted to return to sin. God did not want to allow the Philistines to tempt Israel because it would cause them to sin. I'm not sure if any of you are a fan of the Karate Kid series of movies, but if not, these movies center around a young man named Daniel and an older Japanese man named Mr. Miyagi. Mr. Miyagi has taught Daniel karate and continues to be Daniel's mentor throughout all three movies. In the second movie, Mr. Miyagi is explaining how to defend against attack. Remember, he said, best defense, no be there. As they walk, they come upon a fishing wharf. Mr. Miyagi relates to Daniel that this was the location of his first karate lesson from his father. Mr. Miyagi climbs on the wharf where the heavy fishing hook is tied to the deck above him. He then yanks the release rope, and this heavy and deadly hook falls and swings directly at him. At the last minute, the last second, Mr. Miyagi twists, and the hook passes by him and lodges in some wood. Daniel asks if he can try the same move, and Mr. Miyagi reluctantly agrees, but places a safety cork on the hook to protect Daniel. When Daniel releases the hook, it swings down and knocks Daniel into the water. Mr. Miyagi pulls the hook back, removes the cork, and fastens it to the upper deck. Daniel, being frustrated by not being able to avoid the hook, attempts the feat again while Mr. Miyagi is not looking. The hook no longer has that protective cork, and it is sharp and deadly. The hook swings down and barely missing, impaling Daniel, ripping off a piece of his shirt. Mr. Miyagi quickly came down to Daniel and asked, "Are you all right?" Daniel meekly replies, "Yes, I guess that was stupid." Mr. Miyagi said, "Yes, that is what Miyagi's father said to Miyagi." Then Daniel asked Mr. Miyagi, "Is there any defense against this?" Mr. Miyagi answers, "No be there." Mr. Miyagi was telling Daniel the best defense is not to put yourself in the situation to begin with. Avoid the attack. If we apply this object lesson, the best defense against temptation is to avoid it altogether. I came across a quote. I can't remember who said it, but it really rings true. It goes something like this. A strong man will resist temptation. A wise man will avoid it. I live near the city of New Orleans. New Orleans is known as a party town, the Big Easy. Every year, Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday is celebrated. This has got to be the largest festival of lust and debauchery in the world. One of the best known streets in New Orleans is Bourbon Street. Mardi Gras is filled with thousands of people drinking to excess, dancing around in costumes. Some of these costumes barely dress them. Many of these folks are crowded along Bourbon Street. Mardi Gras demonstrates the getaway of celebration. Now, Bourbon Street is filled with bars and strip shows. These places of business all have men standing at the door beckoning partygoers to come in to their establishment and partake in lust. Temptation to the max. Now, you may choose to be strong and take a stroll down Bourbon Street, and you may fight to resist the temptation to engage in lust as these hucksters tug at you, enticing you to come in. You're strong. At least you thought you were as you begin to give in to your lust and to sin. What is the better approach? Don't walk down Bourbon Street. Avoid the temptation. Solomon wisely instructs us in this principle. Turn to Proverbs 5. Proverbs 5. And we'll start in verse 3. Proverbs 5:3. For the lips of a strange woman, the New American Standard Bible says adulteress, drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest you should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that you cannot know them. Hear me, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove your way, Hebrew, Derek, your path, your road, far from her, and come not near the door of her house. Solomon wisely tells us to avoid the situation altogether. We don't need to ask Satan to tempt us. He's quite capable of doing that on his own and will readily attack us without our help. So what is Christ teaching us in the model prayer? Just as Christ teaches us to ask for forgiveness, just as he teaches us to ask for our daily bread, he teaches us to ask for the avoidance of temptation. In essence, we are asking God to lead us away from the land of the Philistines, as he did thousands of years ago. It is best that we do not allow ourselves to purposely be placed in a situation where we are enticed by our own lust, and as James pointed out, which leads to sin. And so we ask the Father, lead us not into temptation.